Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Monday morning. It is the 30th of April. I can't believe it. It is the last day of April. Tomorrow is May 1st, which means the summit is this weekend, and I'm so excited about it. We are running along, coming along, excited to test. And we tested it, which is the first time I've done that, which is beforehand, and had, you know, a person just go through it, see what happens to them, do it myself, go through it. And it looks like my next one will be in Chicago. I'm from there, and I've had enough people from there who wanted to come here, and I said, you know, hang on, let's try to do one there. So if there's one in your city that you would like to have, after we do this one and we put together all the media and everything, I'm looking at being in Chicago in September. So that would be the next step. But it's cool because instead of people having to travel from another country or another state here, I want to go everywhere and see more people. So hopefully we will get a few of those in by the end of this year, a couple of them in by the end of the year. I'm really excited about doing it that way and just getting to meet people across the country and across the world. That would be very, very cool. So today's show is, what are your blind spots? Are you aware of them? And do you keep them blind? And that last sentence is the kicker. Because we all know what we're doing, every single one of us. And we know when we're doing our best and we rest well with it. And we also know when we're not, things we're choosing not to see. And I say it because there, I know beautiful people that I love beyond words. I see them live in a box, literally, and it breaks my heart. Putting boundaries around yourself that are so tight, and you know the fears, the reasons that you have are excuses. You know that they're irrational. We all have them. We've all done it. We've all needed our crutches until we didn't. But to not face them where we get in trouble. When we don't say, this is my plan to conquer this. This is my plan to address this. This is my plan to be happier, not feeling like I'm controlling myself. There is nothing on this earth that we do that somebody else has done to us on a personal level. And I know that's a big statement, and it takes away a lot of blame, and it takes away a lot of finger pointing, and it takes away a lot of lack of self-accounting, or just self-accounting. But it takes it away. Because at the end of the day, you're faced with you. There's nobody else but you. And that's the scariest part of it all. that's the part that we don't want to face, that we have a hard time building a bridge towards. Even if the people around you are addressing it with you, when you see each other through a phone call, however it is, through an email, and they say, hey, you know, why don't you try this? Why don't you fix that? Why don't you go here? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And they, yeah. And then they don't. And because they don't, just because they don't, behind themselves, and they start to panic. That's hence panicking. Getting anxiety. Because now the soul is saying, hey, you know what? You're not really taking care of me. I need to be taken care of. I'm in here. I've got all this information. I've got all this life in me. Why don't you let me live? And you're saying, well, you know, let me put you off because you're a little noisy down there, in there. Maybe too noisy for my liking. Maybe I'll just shut you down completely. And we do. And now we go a step further and we wonder why we can't feel. Because we shut our soul off. So how are you going to feel if your soul is shut off? And now you're going to get more anxiety. Now we're going to go into panicking. Because we don't feel capable of taking care of us. Our thought process might be so ingrained that we get lost in every single day of our life. We don't feel we own our lives. And we know our life is passing us by. We know we're in the old mindset. We know we don't know how to accept new circumstances. And Christopher Sedre wrote on the page for the radio show, he said, one simple way we can help yourself being aware of your blind spots is to take a few seconds of your life. How many times have you looked yourself in the mirror and say, I exist, I am? This is our door to awareness. Take a break. You only require a few seconds of your life. Wherever you put a sticky note in your refrigerator, put a sticky note in your computer, next to your bed, in the mirror, with these two words, I exist. Bring yourself to look inward. Bring yourself to look around. Make a pause of awareness. It only takes you a second to look at the note. The more you do it, the more you bring yourself to your present and to your now, to yourself. The conflict in the world would end when we realize I am love, I am peace, I am awareness. That's great. Now the story is, how do you get someone to do that? Who doesn't want to do it? And I know we say people are not ready. And sometimes you meet people that are so smart, so beautiful, and you want to help them see what they can't get themselves to acknowledge about themselves. Their biggest question is, do you keep yourself blind? And after that, why? And after you answer the truth, which is on purpose, the truth, I'm keeping myself blind on purpose. It was like when I was married and I knew something was wrong. I never, ever thought of leaving. Year 5. But then there was year 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. And by then, there was nothing left to me. I was under 100 pounds. I stopped talking or going out and seeing people. The only happiness I felt was when I was with my kids. 9 years. I didn't want to be divorced. I didn't want to accept divorce. I never thought of it. He kept bringing it up, but I never thought of it. It made me cry when he brought it up. I didn't want my family to not be intact or together. But I had to be aware of the fact that I gave up, not on myself, not on my kids, but I shut down. That's how I gave up. And the way I progressed was just getting more and more and more and more sad. But then the last time he asked me for the divorce, I acknowledged that he said that. And the minute I acknowledged, I'd not turn back, even if I wanted to. I could not turn back. No matter what I was going to face going forward, my brain was like, ah, my soul was like, finally. My heart just cried and cried. I just passed out on this from saying yes. I said, okay. And in that minute, just in that minute alone, I saw like this white spiral that was real big on the top and was little on the bottom, and I saw the contents of my life just swing down that thing. And with it, I passed out. I could still hear, but I passed out. I was so thin then. I mean, now I'm not a big person, but I was under 100 pounds, if you could imagine. And I didn't even have it in me to physically fight back, but I had it in me mentally to save myself from being in a place that was not good for me. And I knew it, and I coped with it, and I thought, well, if I take it, I'll get to the other side, meaning maybe he'll be better. Maybe he'll finally see he has a family worth keeping. Maybe, maybe, maybe. And now I just knew. And I remember my mother coming to visit me, all worried about me that I'm getting divorced. And oh my gosh, especially in our culture, oh, you don't want to do that. Now you're like used goods. And she's sitting in my kitchen, and I haven't seen Christ yet, obviously, at that point. That was 1997. But I do remember clearly telling her, don't worry about me now. When I was married, you should have worried about me. Because then there were days I called you when you were at work and you were so busy and you'd say you'd call me back. And I couldn't get up off the couch. I was so broken inside. And I saw the relationship when I couldn't, I'm the same person. Nothing changed except how I felt about how I was taking care of me. When I wasn't taking care of me, I was curled up in a ball on the couch when the situation would get pretty bad. But the minute I acknowledged what was going on, I got strength like you couldn't even believe. It was like super speed. Same person I was the week before. But I was on super speed. Because now my soul was like, hey, there you go, girl. Now you know. Now you know what to do. I didn't have any better instruction, but whatever instruction I had was real and true and fine. When I was hiding, when I knew there was a problem, I knew I purposely had a blind spot, even though it's something I would not accept anywhere else in life. And once I realized I wouldn't accept it here either, that was a life changer. And if someone is scared to leave their house and they walk out of their house, they realize they're still alive. Somebody is scared to switch jobs and they just start looking. Bigger jump when you're looking for a different job is writing a resume. When you write a resume and you see on paper who you are, you would want to meet that person, which means other people will want to meet you. There's a sense of self-alignment that comes into play where you yourself, you just start to see who you are, why you want to be that way. And you stand up for it. It's so easy to tell anybody what to do. It was easy for people. People would just kind of look at me. I noticed that. I noticed when people met the two of us together that didn't know us prior would look at us like, how did you two end up together? Did it mean he was bad and I was good? No, we were complete opposites. Complete, all the way down the pike. I believed in God. He didn't. I came from a place of, you know, I was happy as a human, but then I was sad. And I knew it, and he knew it. And a part of me was hoping in some weird way that he would see how sad I was and care enough to address the issues we had. They just wouldn't talk about it because he could not face his blind spot. And his blind spot was he was scared to be loved. He didn't trust love. He didn't trust people. He didn't trust life. The only thing he trusted was his work and making money for it because that's something he saw. It was tangible. So the emotional blind spot he had, he didn't in his mind have to see because he took care of one thing so well in his mind that that took care of everything in his mind. But emotionally, he was really, really hard on himself, and it spilled over on me, and I didn't look at it that way at the time. I thought, how could anybody treat me that way? How could anybody be mean to me? What have I done to do and deserve that? But I didn't do anything. That's just who the person is. Did I know that then? No. Did I even know that when I left? No. I felt bad about myself for him not being happy with me because my culture thinks that. My culture says if the man is great, he's great, and if the man isn't great, it's the woman. And then there you are. You don't get to win. You don't get to feel like you matter or you count or anything you do means anything. And I didn't want all of that avalanche of feelings to be thrown at me, dumped on me. Or going back on a trip to Chicago and people saying, oh, you got divorced. Like, see, look, oh, there you are. And that's, you know, how it made me feel. But when I fought for my soul, all of that stuff, power over me. Having a blind spot only holds you in place until you face what you need to face. And once you face whatever it is, if you're scared to get on an elevator, if you're scared to drive, if you're scared to ride a bike, if you're scared to change jobs, if you're scared to move from your house, from an area, but you want to, Once you face that, you get this incredible feeling that you really, really can take care of yourself, that you really can do anything. It's not a matter of proving anything. It's a matter of feeling. Feeling that feeling that you really can take a step in the right direction for yourself. I remember at last year's summit, everyone that came, getting to see everybody's face. That was truly, and I can say clearly, one of the happiest times of my life. Even though I was busy, even though I was behind financially in the whole thing, even though all of that came into play, having Eliana come across the country and volunteer to film it, seeing Francis for the first time, having Liam come, seeing Nancy again, seeing Susan, seeing the people that came, having Todd and Lisa be part of it, having everybody in a room, having my sister-in-law drop by, having people from the church come, because we were there. All of that. And I, for 3 weeks after that, 3 weeks, I was still floating on air. I didn't even know what hit me. And it was the love. It was us coming together. And I knew there were more of us, and I knew we had the show, and I knew, you know, that the community of all of us who just decided to wake up and take charge of our lives, not have to follow anybody to do it, but to follow our hearts, is what made me most happy. Taking action, no matter what the results are, when you believe in something, having Eric and his wife come. She came at the last minute. She wasn't going to come. Eric, who helped me financially to plug up the holes at the end of it. We did it. It happened. And it's something that I will never forget in all of my life. Because it meant so much. And it still does. And it always will. Why? Because we took a thought and we made it happen. Instead of, oh no, I can't. Oh no, this. Oh no, that. We can come up with a million reasons why not. But then we can also come up with a million reasons why we should. Being scared of ourselves is one of the hardest things we could ever have gone through in our lives. Harder than anything else we can face. I know Liam says, Susan is here again this year. And Susan was my guinea pig. She's been here for a couple weeks now, and I've actually seen her a couple times at the church. I saw her yesterday because I had the kids on Sundays. And I had her do day one, and I had her do day two. I have a day one and a day two. And the coolest thing about Susan is that she has been listening to me before I knew who she was. And then, you know, obviously we saw her at the summit, and then now this year, and she has taken her life into her own hands. And so she did day one, and I thought to myself, here's someone who's probably heard everything I've ever said at least once, and how will she react to this? And then we did day two a week later, And day two is really hard. First day, it's really identifying where you're at in the self-love scale of life so that you know how to take yourself forward. It's not a measurement. It's just a way for you to know what you can do with you. So the next day, she did the whole thing, and I talked to her, and I prepped her, and I gave it to her, and I said, you know, give me your feedback, and she sends me back a note saying, it took me 3 hours to do this. I am totally exhausted. No, it worked. It didn't, nothing. I was like, oh, no. So then she, you know, the next day, in the middle of the day, she goes, oh, my God, that shifted me. It happened. It really happened. And I thought, oh, thank you, God, because it just came out of me. And last year, for whatever reason and how the summit was designed, I didn't get to talk as much as I would have or could have or should have, I guess, but it was what it was meant to be. And this year, that's why I made sure it was only 2 days and just kind of synchronized it. And the other information was great for us, and it helped us take a look around at how we're taking care of our bodies. And I always thought that is a part of it. We are a mind, body, and soul. And we needed to address those things. But then I thought, let's just start with the soul. Because without that part of it, none of the other stuff really falls into place. So somebody's got to do that. So everyone's got to take care of their part of it. I can't teach it all. I do the food and I do everything else personally. But I only do that because I woke up the first part. And it's been an eye-opener, I have to say. The more you know about food, the more there is to know. And the more you know about, you know, what goes on in the medical world, the more there is to know. And the more you know about the soul, the more there is to know. We don't think that for some reason when it comes to our souls. But the blind spots, and that's what I loved about the summit, no one in that room had a blind spot. No one. We all got to live in a world that sees and breathes and feels real. And that's what I loved about the whole thing. I felt like I lived in a real world. And we can all do that in our lives. Forget anyone else, just you, being honest with you. I am a person who blank, fill it in. Let yourself be the person that you know you can be without cutting yourself short or cutting yourself off. When Christ says one of the greatest forms of respect is to listen to someone all the way through without interrupting them, that goes for you to you. Don't interrupt yourself. Don't tell yourself to be quiet because you don't deserve that. Or to be quiet because you don't have time for you. Because if you don't have time for you, no one else is going to make time for you. Trust me. Because that's the energy you will carry. If you have any blind spots, take a look at them today. Face them. They're not as big as they look. You guys, I have 10 seconds. I will see you tomorrow. I love you so very much. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.